private healthcare contracts used to cut hospital waiting lists have been halted, prompting fears that our already overstretched health service will be put under even more pressure. Northern Ireland's five health trusts have been ordered to temporarily pause sending their patients to private clinics since the beginning of July because of budget constraints. This is reported in today's Irish News. So what will this mean for delays in hospital appointments and operations really clogging up the system? Well, Assembly Health Committee members, Roy Beggs Jr. from the Ulster Unionist Party is with us this morning. Morning to you, Roy. Right, Roy's not with us. The DUP's Jim Wells is. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Roy, you are with us now. Morning to you, Roy. Morning, Roy.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. Well, Jim, what do you make of this? These contracts used to cut hospital waiting lists, they've been halted. Is that the right thing to do?
Well, Stephen, the reality is that the health service budget is under considerable pressure. We're facing the challenges of welfare reform. There's been an £87 million cut in the budgets this year already. And the reality is that every penny has to be analysed as to how it's spent within the health service. And one of the areas that has been focused upon is private contracts. We don't want to be in this position, but the reality is that there are great storm clouds ahead gathering. And if we don't get welfare reform sorted out, unfortunately, this is the first of many re-examinations of expenditure.
But the health budget's protected.
The health budget's protected in the sense that, in real terms, it hasn't increased. The budget has remained static. The problem is, Stephen, that demand for health service provision is increasing by 6% a year, whilst funding remains static. And it's only after a certain number of years, eventually, that something has to give.
Yeah, but here's what's going to give now, presumably. The consequences of cutting these private healthcare contracts on the patients, on people in Northern Ireland, presumably is going to be a lot longer waiting lists. It's going to have a massive impact, this, on ordinary people, right?
Well, no, Stephen, you've got to remember that the total expenditure in private provision in the health service is less than 2%. So we need to get into this into some form of context. But over 98.5% of all provision is paid for out of the public purse.
So then you tell me, what impact is this going to have?
It will inevitably mean that people may have to wait longer for certain procedures.
How much longer?
We don't know yet, Stephen. We haven't analysed this because we've just had the results of the June monitoring round. We only now know where we stand financially for the incoming 9 months. Well, and it's going to have to be analysed to see where we stand. But yes, I think it's inevitable to say that some people will have to wait longer. Yes.
Roy Beggs Jr., do you approve of this?
I think that we're in particular difficulties with health at present. That's very obvious. If you even look over the past year, there has been a considerable increase in the inpatient waiting list, a 30% increase, over 1,000 people more waiting more than 26 weeks for a procedure. Already the health service is struggling. Now, whether operations are carried in-house within the health service or use made of additional independent contractors, I am not overly concerned about which route, as long as it is the best method of dealing with waiting lists and patients are well treated.
The economist John Simpson's in the studio here with us. John, what impact is this going to have? You were shaking your head. A couple of points that were made there already.
Well, you've opened up a discussion which is inevitably going to be difficult, and it has several different levels. And there is the level that I think Jim Wells has pointed to, that we've just gone through the June monitoring round and the allocation. And in fact, the June monitoring round has exposed an interesting bit of tension between the Minister of Finance and Edwin Poots as Minister of Health, because as Minister of Finance, Simon Hamilton has said that this department has been due to poor budget management during the year. It overspent last year, and he's actually saying to them it's disappointing that they had this considerable overspend. Now, up to now, we've taken the view that Edwin Poots has been managing his budget as best he can. I'm sure he is, actually, but his best, now Samuel Hamilton is saying, has not been good enough.
Well, so whose side do you weigh down on there? Your party colleague, Jim Wells, Simon Hamilton, or your party colleague, Edwin Poots?
Well, I would agree with John. I think Edwin Poots has done a marvellous job.
So Simon Hamilton's got it wrong, has he?
Well, Simon is alluding to a budget overspend of 0.3%.
Has he got it wrong?
No, I think maybe the wording wasn't particularly clear. We're talking about a tiny, tiny overspend.
What was the wording, John Simpson? It was clear enough.
The overspend, Simon's words, in my view, due to poor budget management within the department.
Well, that's his department, Jim Wells, isn't it?
Well, it's Edwin Pooch's department, and I think a 0.3%, less than half of 1% budget overspend, is, in my opinion, coming very close to the target. Indeed, it was very easy to find that money within the underspends in other departments. But what we're not tackling here, Stephen, is that in the future, if we do not sort out welfare reform, you and I will be having this conversation on many, many occasions, because health undoubtedly in the future will have to take its fair share of the hit for welfare reform and the intransigence of the nationalist parties.
Is he right, John?
Yes, if we were going to talk about welfare reform, I would actually be on the side of saying it's time we solved this problem and that we can solve the problem. If we would be having the same discussion as you had at the early part of your programme, it would be about the DUP and Sinn Féin getting a workable arrangement in order to keep the budget in line.
And Jim Wells, we've run out of time here this morning, but just before you go, whatever happened to you being the Health Minister?
Well, the decision on that rests entirely with the First Minister.
But you were promised it by the First Minister, were you not?
There was an indication given 3 years and 3 months ago that that would happen.
That's a long time ago.
The First Minister clearly makes that decision. He will announce it in his own time.
Has he got cold feet about you?
He has a very difficult decision to make.
Has he not? Three years ago he promised you the gig and he hasn't given it to you yet?
There has been no announcement on that issue whatsoever, I can assure you. He will make the decision at his own time.
You must have itchy feet, Jim. You must want in there.
Well, Stephen, if it means spending many, many hours being grilled by you on the BBC Radio Ulster, I would have second thoughts. That's one of the least pleasures of being potential health minister.
Not that I would put it to you that you're counting the days, but you did say there that it's 3 years and 3 months, not 3 years and 2 months, 3 years and 4 months. Like, you even know exactly to the day. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give Peter a call myself and ask him when he's going to deliver it for you.
Well, thank you very much for your concern about my political welfare, Stephen. I will abide by whatever decision the First Minister makes on this issue. It's a terribly difficult quandary he's in, trying to please all sides.
So is he undecided now, or is he giving it to you? It's just a matter of when. Is it when or if?
I think that Edwin Pooch is doing a marvellous job.
Is it when or if?
Look, Stephen, that's not my call. It's not my pay grade. All I can say is that Edwin's doing a fantastic job. He has my full support. And as long as he remains Health Minister, I will give him that.
I'm going to be out of a job here because we're late for the news. Thank you, John. Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Jim.